Welcome to Abound in Hope, a podcast from Imprint Church. Our goal is to help you apply the hope of the gospel of Jesus Christ to everyday life. All right, welcome back to Abound in Hope. I am Rex Gorman, and I am sitting here with...
Hey, I'm Tom Regan.
And...
Tom McGregor.
And...
Suzanne Hagelin.
Yes, it's fun to have two Toms in the house once again. Well, hey, last week we started talking through on our website are our 8 words of church health. Can anybody name those off the top of their head right now?
Jesus.
Yes.
Bible.
Yes.
Worship.
Yep.
Unity.
Yep.
I'm losing count now. Generosity, witness,
prayer
and love.
Yeah, yeah, nailed it. Yeah. So in order, that's Jesus, Bible, worship, unity, prayer, generosity, witness, and love. And we spent some time unpacking where these came from, what they were last week. So, or not last week, I guess 2 weeks ago. So if you were curious about where those came from, pause this, go back and listen. You kind of get a quick overview of why these were the measures that we picked and where they came from and all that kind of stuff. But this week, we want to talk about our second measure of church health, our second word, and that is Bible. Now, you might know we did a podcast on the Bible just a little while ago, and that was pretty fun. We went kind of into Nerdville, which was cool. So if you want to go back and listen to that, that's kind of more like, hey, what is the Bible? Can we trust it? Where does it come from? What does it say about itself? What does it mean for us? What happens when Christians read it? What's it for? This today, we're mostly going to talk about it in terms of church health. So I'll lob the question out there. You guys can answer as you see fit. Why is this one of our signs of church health? Or why is it necessary for the Bible to be at the center of a healthy church?
I think because Jesus is our number one word, we don't know anything about him without scripture.
Yeah.
I mean, we know stuff through tradition,
yeah,
but that's not God's special revelation to us. God's word to us is his son, and Jesus says the Old Testament is inspired and authoritative, and then he commissions his apostles to record his life and the ministry of the church and their writings, and validates that as inspired and authoritative. And so the canon is our rule of life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is how we know God. That's my short answer.
That is a short answer,
that
but it's a
better.
Good one. Yeah. that's the difference in the two Toms we have.
I'll just go ahead and summarize stuff. Yeah.
My short answer is Matthew 7:24. Jesus was saying, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. Mm. So, I mean, if you think of the house on the rock as being the church in a sense, I mean, the Lord's building his church. So building it on the teachings of Christ are an essential aspect of building the church.
Yeah, yeah. My mind goes to Hebrews 1. It's the long ago, God spoke to our ancestors by the prophets at different times and in different ways. In these last days, he has spoken to us by his son.
Mm-hmm.
And again, like if we believe that the scriptures, if you want to go back and listen to that other one, we believe the scriptures are inspired. We believe that this is the Spirit working through men, through people, through mankind, and showing us things about himself perfectly, even though we are fallen. So we believe that we need kind of to sum up what we've said here, we know who God is because of his revelation to us in scripture, and it's a good thing. So why it, again, we kind of got painted with broad brushes there, but why did we see this? Why did, as we're talking about Imprint Church, why do we see this as essential for church health? What is it particularly about scripture?
Right. Well, if our purpose in life is to know God, love God, glorify God, and then we're called into a corporate life together, like this is the Bible is what tells us what we're here for.
Why we're even, are,
who we are, why we're alive, who is God, and then on the church level, on the corporate level, what are we supposed to be doing? Why do we even have a church? And if you remove the Bible, you lose all sense of grounding of like who you are, what you're even supposed to be doing, and this is how churches get off track if you get rid of the Bible. So at the end of each one of our gatherings, we are currently, as in the Gospel of Matthew, are saying the Great Commission, because we're reminding ourselves this is what we're supposed to be doing in the world. And God has chosen to make himself known, to make his will known, to tell us what is a good life? Like, what is the life that we're supposed to be living? And this comes from the scripture. So if we don't listen to the words of scripture, we'll just go to the next whatever thing. We'll just make something up and we'll just live for that and we'll make church about that.
I have a question. we're talking about why is this a sign of church health, but are we talking about just the pastors, the leadership, incorporating scripture?
No, not at all. So okay. Are the pastors, I don't think the pastors and the leaders aren't the only thing that make up the church.
No, good point.
Yeah, in terms of like a community, it's important for our community to be centered on scripture, to agree that, you know, this is what tells us who we are and what this life is about and who our God is. And we believe that that's important. I think in our age, spirituality or, you know, things having to do with higher powers or whatever, they're often seen as kind of intuitive sort of like we're going to feel our way through this. We're going to kind of
you can
decide.
Search inward and you can find those things.
Yeah, exactly.
As opposed to seeing revelation from the transcendent God coming from
it's
the
exactly.
outside revelation. There's an external source. We're not looking inward to find.
That's exactly it. There's a higher power, but he's told us who he is. That's what we say as Christians. We believe that God has revealed himself to us, both in his son, which is the incarnate word, but then also in the Bible,
the written word,
what we have left. That's a weird way of putting that. What we have in front of us as a guide, as a testament.
I think the reason it's a sign of church health is that in intuiting our way through life is not an accurate way of living according to who we are, what we are, and what we are made for, and who we are made for. And it's for all of us, it's important that we don't just have some vague understanding of scripture, but that daily we are returning to the source of God's special revelation about himself to us and reorienting our lives individually and corporately to that. It's like Crystal wanted me to make her rhubarb galette. So I did. And it requires you to chop the rhubarb into 6-centimeter slices.
Like, I think I know how to make that, and I'll just throw this together.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah. But, you know, you line it up. But if you chop the first one precisely and then use that one to chop the next ones, eventually you're going to get off, which is exactly what I did. And then the whole thing looks like a mess instead of, like, really pretty.
Yeah.
But it tasted good, I'm sure.
It was pretty good.
Let me add one thing here, is that especially in our Western hyper-individualized culture, self-determination and self-definition reign supreme. And so people do want to intuit their way through life. They want to determine for themselves who they are, define themselves by how they want to define themselves, and get to determine who they become, where they should go.
Yeah.
And we're saying, no, God exists as transcendent, as sovereign creator over everything, and he hasn't given us the right to define ourselves or the ability to define ourselves or to be self-determined, ultimately self-determining.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, he has a will.
Yep.
And we can discover his will through the word.
So this goes back to what you were saying earlier about truth. And the way truth used to be conceptualized was as an objective external reality that was received.
And we're trying to bring our lives in conformity with that.
Right. And then, you know, time goes on. Then we think around the time of the Enlightenment. That it's something you can discover.
Right.
So at first it was something you had to receive.
With human reason.
Right. Now reason becomes the supreme court of law that determines whether or not something is true. And then
sort of now you kind of add this objective experience. That almost goes, supersedes reason, right?
We're at a weird cusp though. Yeah. 'Cause like for my generation and older, it was, does it work? It became American pragmatism.
Yeah.
So in the West, in the East, like these transitions are different, but does it work? Is it going to improve my life? Well, that's a different topic, but, you know, it's true if it works. And now we're at that cusp where the question isn't, is it true? Or is it practical? Does it work? But is it beautiful? Do I like the way that it feels?
Does this make me feel good?
Does it feel good? Does it increase the accolades or honor or beauty in my life, other people's perceptions of me? And I think it's we no longer recognize truth as something external or even internal, but it's self-determining and an expression of my personal feelings.
Yeah.
So the scriptures are a plumb line that we measure what truth is by.
Right.
I think... You know, because when we become believers, we are sealed with the Spirit of God, and we do have that interior spirit, at least for my generation. Sometimes I think that was a confusion, the idea that if I feel it or if I sense it, you know, that that somehow can carry as much weight or...
Like you're driving the ship a little bit?
Yeah. Am I making sense here? Yeah. So not just that the scripture is the plumb line, but how I interpret it is the plumb line. Do you see what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I feel like it's valid that we have the Spirit of God, and he's the one that, you know, he teaches us to pray. He reminds us of the things we've learned. But the scripture is the standard.
Right.
And
the rule of life, the rule of faith.
Yeah. And in Colossians 3:16, it says, let the word of Christ dwell richly among you in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another through psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. Mm-hmm. I mean, that the community of the body of Christ is also essential.
Definitely.
When you have scripture as the online.
Yeah. And I think it should kind of govern everything that we do as people. You know, I think we would, it's not said a whole lot. Do you guys want to talk about the regulative principle at all? Like a little bit of that? Like,
no, go back and because that was in the first one, right?
Was it? I don't remember if it was in the first one.
Oh, okay. Just, then go for it. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I think basically the idea is like, hey, we believe that as we gather, we will do things that are alluded to in scripture, that are pointed to in scripture. Everything that we do needs to have some kind of a root in scripture. That's the regulative principle. Basically, it's norming us. It's not that we are picking and choosing it pragmatically or doing things to have a certain effect that we want, but we use scripture as, like you said, the plumb line for what we're doing together.
Well, I think that's important because that's something that happens naturally if this aspect of church health is ignored. We intuit, we resort to pragmatism because we're Americans. And so pragmatism,
and
efficiency, productivity, future-oriented results kind of stuff rules, because of culture, it rules our intuitions. And so just as an individual in the body, as well as corporately, we could set up our bylaws and our constitution in a way that makes sense in our culture.
It creates a functioning organization that, even as we said last week, that does good things in the community that's inside, and then outward facing as well, it can do good things in the community that it's planted in.
But if scripture does not inform our theology, and theology does not inform our philosophy, and then philosophy doesn't inform our structures, our policies, and our activity, then we're kind of making it up.
Yeah. That's the whole, what am I trying to say? The Reformation kind of thing. They said ad fontes, like to the font, to the source. And we believe scripture is the source there. What else happens if this is an ignored, thing in churches? If we build a church, we say, hey, the Bible's good, but you know, it's not necessarily norming everything. What happens to a church if it's not centered on the Bible?
I would say you could potentially, in worst case scenario, you're steering off the path of orthodoxy and you just end up in non-Christian land, right?
Mm-hmm. Vaguely spiritual.
Vaguely spiritual. You're not even Christian anymore. Or, you know, another thing that will happen is if you devalue the Bible and it's not central to the health and the life of the church, is you just have perpetually immature, undernourished, malnourished Christians who are longing to be fed with the word of God, and they're perpetually immature because they're not being given God's word. And it's being sprinkled on top, and it's kind of being massaged into messages that are more about us than really about God.
It's sort of the kind of a self-help sort of idea. Or
therapeutic.
Like or even like it's a good advice kind of thing, and then scripture, you know, putting scriptures on top.
You can end up emphasizing human commands and legalism and making those as important or more important than scripture.
Matthew 15.
Exactly.
You were just there.
You can also end up emphasizing, I don't know, it sounds weird to say emphasizing grace, but you can kind of go into the other direction where you can underemphasize the demands that are placed on us as followers of Jesus, where you have, you know, like just believe Jesus and do what you want. It can be a philosophy that sounds really nice, but it can be
not
really
nuanced.
Dangerous.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a
really
different
dangerous.
Gospel.
Yeah, exactly. So the other direction in that regard.
I know for myself, if I am not regularly, personally, not as part of my job, not as part of a project, but if I'm not regularly personally like connecting with God through scripture, I end up running out of gas.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I feel absolutely.
Just really disconnected, really discontented, really depressed, all manner of problematic, like psychological issues.
I totally liken it to if I lose my regular rhythm of scripture and prayer, my soul just feels a little bit like sick, you know? And I realize this is what happens to me if I go, which doesn't happen as much anymore because I'm married and have a more consistent life, but when I'm a single guy, just go long stretches of eating
only Doritos,
pork rinds and vanilla Coke. You know,
why do I feel so...
you run out of time.
Why do I feel so bad?
Gross.
Yeah, what could it be?
Just eating junk food. What happens to your body when you eat too much junk food is what happens to your soul. If you're feeding yourself with entertainment and you're not, you know, and other things, and you're not taking in the nourishing.
Well, and that's a great point because we are always imbibing.
Yeah, we're taking stuff in all the time.
Always.
And I can feel it in my spirit. Ooh, you know, like I'm not feeling great. Mm-hmm.
So 1 Timothy 6:3-5 kind of addresses this. It's talking about false doctrine, but I think anytime you're neglecting scripture, you go that direction. It says, if anyone teaches false doctrine and does not agree with the sound teaching of our Lord Jesus Christ and with the teaching that promotes godliness, he's conceited and understands nothing, but has an unhealthy interest in disputes and arguments over words. From these come envy, quarreling, slander, evil suspicions, and constant disagreement among people whose minds are depraved and deprived of the truth, who imagine that godliness is a way to material gain. Now, that's pretty extreme.
Right.
But the idea that if scripture is not central and the accurate teaching of, you know, the Lord's, Jesus' teaching and that promotes godliness. If you're not promoting godliness, then you're sowing to the flesh.
Yeah, and you're going to have an ungodly church.
Yeah, you forget what story you're a part of, and so you start living a different story.
Mm-hmm.
So the Ephesians passage where like Jesus himself has given the apostles and the prophets and the evangelists and all of these for a purpose, and these are people that are connected to God, reliant on scripture, that are edifying, building up the church, and reminding us of who we belong to and where we're headed.
Yeah.
So going back to what Suzanne said, that a church community could devolve into ungodliness if you're not teaching them, if you're not, you don't have teaching that accords with godliness. Basically, if you're teaching correct doctrine, is it any wonder then that he goes on to say, and this is in chapter 4:13, until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of scripture, to exhortation, to teaching. So this was the practice.
Yeah.
He's like, open the book with your people. Yeah. Read the book. Yeah. Explain it to them. Exhort them in living it out. Help them live
in
it
the
out.
Book.
It's basically it's basically like preach the word. And he goes on to say, you know, that's in 2 Timothy, but preach the word. So that's become so formative for me in years of ministry. It's like, this is what we're supposed to do.
Amen.
Yeah. I was fortunate to land in a church that just taught the word.
Yeah.
And I had been a Christian for years, and it wasn't until I actually entered seminary that I realized there were massive churches. I lived in a bubble. I didn't know there was massive churches out there that had thousands of people coming that didn't actually really teach the Bible. They were doing different things with the Bible, doing these little creative things and these topical, not all topical preaching is bad, but there was some bad topical preaching out there. And I was like, it was such a weird thing for me. Like, wait, why are people getting together? Like, aren't we supposed to get together? And I didn't say this was self-righteous. I'm more just like,
you're blown. Yeah,
I'm blown away. Like, why is this happening? Because ever since I became a Christian in college, like, all I want to do was open the book and understand it. And all I want to do is be with other believers and open the book and understand what it meant and know God through it. And so,
yeah,
I'm like, that's what we're supposed to do, right?
It
we're
is.
Supposed
it,
to open the book.
I think the most compelling thing, and it sounds so simple, but I think, again, there's the pragmatism. There's all these things that make you want to do other stuff, because again, this isn't the most pragmatic thing. It's not the most like
it's not we're efficient.
Gonna build buildings and you know people are gonna be instantly changed. But it is, you know, in Colossians 3, it's let the words of the Messiah dwell in you richly. that's what we're supposed to do.
Yes, yes.
You know, and everything that we do from there, you know, there's, you could be nerdy and be Greek and talk about how, you know, singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitudes in our hearts to God is an expression. Those are modifying that. That's as we let the words of the Messiah dwell in us, that's a way of making that happen. So it's all centered around that. So I'll ask then, how can we, even as a church, lean into this aspect of church health? How can we, as Imprint Church in particular, lean into making sure the Bible is front and center and right, the norming thing in our lives, in our communal life and in our individual lives?
Well, I just went, so. All right.
You can keep talking.
I'll keep talking.
You haven't been on the podcast in a second.
Yeah, it's been a while.
We need more Tom Regan.
Yeah. I think about the different spheres of Imprint Church life. So Sundays, we teach through the Bible, right? We're in Matthew for a long time. Kids ministry, they go through the Bible. We have Imprint groups. We have sermon kind of discussion questions that are back into the Bible. We have women's Bible studies. We're in conversations about developing men's groups where Bible study will be a central feature.
Based out of the Bible.
And so, and we have had men's Bible studies, not as many, but that. So whatever sphere of church life we have, whether it's Sunday morning or kids ministry or a small group of women's thing, co-ed thing, like we want to go, how can the Bible be a centerpiece of that?
Yeah.
Practicum, story of scripture. Yeah. Mm-hmm. 2 years, the first time I taught the class with Suzanne, there's a guy in the class that at the time was relatively new to Imprint. Sharp dude, awesome. Not going to say his name, but... he took issue with some of the stuff that we were talking about in the Genesis portion of the class. He was like, I don't see that. It wasn't Genesis 1 or 2, which is another
and
story.
Typically were, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, usually. But there were some things in there where he was like, I've never heard this before. I've been in church for, you know, so many years and never heard it. And so he went home and he did his Bible study and he's like, I can see where you're coming from, but I'm still not sold. So let's get together with Bibles open and talk through it. Like that's a way that we can be healthy as a church, is hold one another accountable, like all of us.
Yeah. I mean, Darren even said this on Sunday, you know, he was preaching and he said, hey family, did you know that sometimes I'm wrong? Like if you hear me being wrong and you read the scripture and say, I don't see that, it's actually a gift to the church. It's a gift to, you know, to me to come and say, hey, I think you're wrong. Let's talk about it. So yeah, there's that. There's the, sorry, the computer just locked and freaked me out. We're good though. We're still going.
Sweet.
Yeah.
I think too, like in the prayer ministry, we really make scripture a focus that when we're praying, you can bring anything in prayer to the Lord, but scriptures is where his character is revealed. Mm-hmm. And so our confidence and our hope and what we pray for is built on his character. Mm-hmm. So we really look to make scripture like the foundation of how we do prayer ministry.
Yeah. That's one of the things I've noticed about Suzanne that I've appreciated about you, Suzanne, through the years. I've told you this, so I'm not just saying this for the podcast, but her ability and passion for praying the scriptures. Like when I was first getting to know Suzanne, she joined our team and then she was on Slack and sending messages about on the prayer channel. And she always was praying scripture. I was like, this woman is praying. Like she just has these scriptures like that are like right on the tip of her tongue. She's just like bringing these scriptures to bear and all of these varied situations that need prayer, which is awesome. And I love that. So definitely.
Some of those I actually spent a long time looking for. Yeah. It's like, I knew what I wanted.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
You search for it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think just that, the rigorous study, not you and Jesus alone, because that's not actually scriptural, but like the Bible in the context of community, rigorous study, and the context of this community, and then also the community of the saints. Like, people are dead, but they've written books.
They
and
have.
They're really good, and we can be in the stream of orthodoxy by doing study in the context of community and making sure we're not coming up with weird ideas.
Well, the other part of that is, like, when you go back and read someone who's been dead for a long time, like, say, like, Augustine or something like that, he's so hot these days.
so hot.
But, you know, you can, he had blind spots and that's obvious, but his blind spots were not the same as ours. And so it can be really interesting and cool to see like, oh, wait a minute. Like this person's looking at the Bible and seeing this thing. He sees this thing and I don't know if that's right, but I didn't see this thing that he said. Mm-hmm. And that's challenging for me. I think we can be in community with people who've written these things a long time ago.
Well, and that can feel really intimidating to go back to something that's, you know, 1600 years old or even like on the incarnation. But you read that stuff in a good translation. And especially, like, I remember the first time I read the On the Incarnation, I was like, whoa, that sounds like it was written like 5 days ago. Yeah. The yeah. translation yeah. was so good, but also it was like, oh, this is what I believe. And this document is whatever, 1800 years old. It's like, sweet.
So just to confirm, you're saying that it's not that we shouldn't study the scriptures on our own, but that it's the context of understanding scripture is in
the community
in the church.
Yeah, all those things back to Colossians 3, all those are communal, you know, all that thing he's talking about in the context of community. And sure,
exclude.
It does not exclude. No, it doesn't exclude that at all. No,
you're no longer allowed to read the Bible on your own.
I spend hours.
Yeah. I would say, if I don't know. Maybe that's not, never mind. That's not fair to say.
I just think often when I encounter people that exclusively study scripture on their own, they're not in community.
Yeah.
At best, they've got a lot of the right doctrine and the wrong scripture. They've got the right ideas about who God is, and then they just kind of cherry pick verses that seem like they're kind of in the ballpark.
Yeah.
At least they've got the right idea of who they're in relationship with. But yeah. I think we start to get weird ideas, and then as we start to pass those along to other people who don't have the same nuance, same relationship,
yeah.
then it kind of goes further and further.
That's out. Darren's thing he said a couple of times is Christians get weird alone.
Yeah. Yeah. No, we're not actually made for it.
Yeah, basically. Yeah. I think that there's a strange way, though. There's actually something in the other direction as well, whereas if you're only studying scripture and community, and you're dependent on other people. You're dependent on Tom or Darren or you to open the Bible, and that's when you're getting it. Strange things can happen.
Human development, like people that depend on other people to feed them, are babies.
Yes, yes.
Like at some point, you need to feed yourself, and then you need to feed other people.
Exactly.
And I remember somebody challenged me on that. I had overheard somebody say something like, "I just want to go to a church where I can be fed."
Oh, I've heard that a lot.
And I was like, oh, yeah, that sounds really reasonable. And I was talking to somebody else. And, oh, yeah, this guy's looking for a good church where he can be fed. And the guy was like, well, how old is he? How long has he been walking with Jesus? Does he know how to read the Bible? Oh, you know.
Psalm 1, you know.
Yeah.
It says, talking about the man who's not walking in the way of sinners, his delight is in the Lord's instruction, and he meditates on it day and night.
Yeah. Comes like a tree of life.
Yep. Well, hey, we've already talked in the context of this. We've mentioned a few things that we've seen in the life of our community. Is there any other things you want to highlight there about like where we've seen scripture as a part of Imprint Church, kind of right in the center? I think we've kind of...
I'll brag on Bible Club. I think that is just super awesome. A bunch of young adults getting together for the purpose of reading scripture out loud. And that's what they do together.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's turned into like really close friendships, but they still get together primarily to read scripture out loud together in community. I think that's awesome.
That's what I did with my children.
Mm-hmm.
Every day we read scripture together, and we just went through the Bible, like full books of the Bible.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what they're doing there too. It's amazing. Yep.
I'll go back to one thought, because I think really Sunday is really important in the life of the church, but it's not the only thing.
Yeah.
But here, this is my desire, going to the conversation about the topic of feeding others and feeding ourselves. One of the beauties, what I hope will happen from exposition, is when we are doing exposition. Exposition means I am trying to bring out what is in the text. I think we try to do this at Imprint in a way that helps people see how we're arriving at the conclusions.
Yeah.
Because when we show people that this is actually in the text, and we try to, and from the text, try to show them the train of thought, the locus of authority is not in the preacher.
Mm-mm.
The locus of authority is in the text.
Yeah.
And then by if you do good exposition, people are learning how to read the Bible.
Yeah.
Right. And they can, and so my hope is, and I've never tested this, hopefully it's not a depressing, you know, answer that comes back to me, but I would like to be able to say that people learned how to read and understand the Bible just by listening to my sermons. Because I'm not just like making a point and letting and dropping it there. I'm saying here's this idea and here's where I see this.
Yeah, you're not saying look how smart I am.
I want you to see in the text where this idea comes from. And if you see that, then hopefully you can take that practice and you can go, oh, he did that, I can do that. That's why I think as preachers we have to be careful. We have study tools, but we have to be careful about the Greek and the Hebrew here. That's helpful, but people need to have the ability to have confidence in their own English translation that they can do this too.
Yeah, it's not some
specialized thing.
Who knows nothing about scripture can pick up the Bible, start reading in Genesis or start reading in Matthew and grow from that.
Yes.
Qualified.
They'll encounter God.
Qualified, a believer who's depending on the Holy Spirit.
A believer.
Tom McGregor got saved reading.
Yeah,
that's
right?
What I was going to say.
So I think
Spirit of God can draw you in.
I'm stealing this from Todd Miles at Western Seminary. Thank you, Todd Miles.
Great guy.
There's this idea that only Christians can understand the Bible, but then you go to some great atheist, academics, and it's like, oh, they arrived at the same conclusion as me. They just don't believe it.
Right.
So I think scripture is clear on the big main stuff. There's a lot of mystery and things that God has decided for whatever reason that he doesn't want to like give us too much detail on, but like all of us can understand it's the Spirit allows us to respond and to live it out.
And to experience conviction of its truth and of its beauty. So that's why I just want to qualify your statement, Suzanne, and I think anyone can read that and can come to understand some things. But you said grow, right? You threw grow in there, and you say
grow in understanding. So like what you were saying that happened with Tom, I know of other people that were told just read, you know, Matthew or read whatever it is, and by starting to read it in the beginning, they understood nothing, but eventually it's like hearing. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Yeah. It's like it built this. A growing understanding that was enough to make them thirsty, to make them want and seek God. Yeah. I mean, that can happen.
Yeah, yes. Well, we talked some about this in our longer form Bible podcast. We talked about how this is a theological document. This is a document that is making statements about God and that we believe is inspired by the Spirit. So we think that, you know, these are written out not just as, again, it's not just propositional facts, but the story, John even says the story that he tells of Jesus. This is written so that you might believe Jesus. You might find life in his name.
Right.
So these things are written with a theological purpose behind them. So exposure to scripture in that way, sure. I mean, I think it is going to draw people in to who this God is. I think it will either increase curiosity or, again, the work of the Spirit will help draw people in. But I do think it will also, for the believer, you know, we're told that these are words that will not return void. I love Peter's statement to Jesus after he says the really hard thing. You know, he's, you know, you have to eat my flesh and drink my blood, and everybody leaves. And Jesus looks at Peter and the apostles and says, are you going to go too? And he says, where else can we go? Like, you have the words of life. And that's what these are. These are the words of life for us. We're kind of getting tight on time. I do want to ask one more question of you guys, though. We talked about this at a corporate level, talked about this as Imprint Church at a particular level. What are your, do you guys have any suggestions, anything for people who want to center their life on scripture? They want to bring scripture into their life as one of the pillars of health. What can they do?
Mm-hmm. Go for it.
I wrote down 3 points on that. One is personal study. The next is being intentional about engaging in study as a congregation, which we talked about.
Mm-hmm.
And last was considering how to apply what we learn actively.
Yeah.
Being a people who are hearers of the word, not just doers of the word.
And, yeah. Doers of the word, not just hearers.
Yeah, yeah.
Did I say it backwards?
Yeah, you did.
Sorry.
We just want to hear.
I don't want to do what it says. I think that any scripture can inspire prayer.
Yeah.
So even if in the moment you're just praying, you know, what does this mean? Or I need this, or someone else needs this. There's always an active response if possible.
There absolutely is. And back to Todd Miles. We love you, Todd.
He doesn't listen to this. So. Yeah,
he most certainly doesn't.
He has other
things to do.
The one thing he talks about in terms of hermeneutics is that that's like interpreting scripture, exegeting, all that kind of thing. Understanding scripture is that the final step in that is response, is obedience, is doing something. If you've read and interpreted and you come up with this stuff and you don't do anything with it, you haven't rightly understood it.
Itself to just read the Bible.
Yeah, no. It's not just that. So,
yeah, I think I would encourage the same thing. Personal study, meditating on that. And by that, I mean, you can start writing your thoughts out in a journal. You can start going for a walk and rolling around your head, and eventually it'll lead to prayer. Sometimes that happens quickly and sometimes it's slow, but I think the talking to God about what he's already talked to you about is a good policy.
Totally.
And then, being responsible to respond, not just in prayer, but in life and in community. I think that if you have a hard time reading scripture and understanding it, or just reading it, period, listening is a great practice. Mm-hmm. Some people do a lot better with things out loud, and then some people just need to be in community for it. The training wheels, or even just like the rhythms of life is I read scripture out loud in community, and I do it on a regular, frequent basis. Can be a really good practice. Show up for worship services on Sunday. That's a good one.
How about memorizing Bible verses?
That's part of meditation, it's easier than you think.
Yep.
Way easier than you think.
Yeah, I'll say two things that are somewhat opposite ends of the spectrum of practices that I find helpful. And one is just read it and take in a lot. Going back to what Suzanne said, like the more you read, the more you understand.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like if you read the Bible through one time, you're going to be like, I don't get this. And so for the early years of my Christian walk, I just was, as a discipline, was trying to read through the Bible. And I had very little understanding when I was getting in the prophets, you know. And now in my reading plan, I'm in Jeremiah, and I know we walked through that. And it's like, I see all these cool things in there now. Not that I'm like some expert on Jeremiah, but I see things now that I glazed over and fought through years ago, right? Just to get through. And just years of exposure, years of reading, it just, God opens your eyes to understand. So there's kind of like the mass intake, just have a regular kind of Bible reading plan, but don't do it as a legalistic practice. Don't do it as check a box. Just, and if that sets you back and you can't quite engage at a good level on that, that's challenging to you, then just go, I'm just going to read Philippians today. That's not going to take you very long to read the book of Philippians or any of the smaller letters.
Jude.
You know? Yeah, you can get through Jude. It's 24 verses.
Philemon's like 280 words or something. Yeah.
John 3.
Third John. Yeah.
Third John's tiny, yeah.
So I think the first thing I want to say is just read. Just have a reading plan and read through lots of Bible. If it stresses you out to have a plan, then just get rid of the plan and just read the Bible. The other thing is this is kind of the opposite end of the spectrum, is take in small chunks and slow down and get quiet and just meditate. Even in my practice of sermon preparation, sometimes I'll with my Apple Pencil on my iPad, I'll write a verse out, and some things will come to my mind as I'm actually writing the verse that I don't think would have come to my mind if I just would have been looking at the words of the verse.
Yeah.
But if you slow down and just meditate, that's the practice of meditation. It's a little bit hard, especially in our fast-paced world, especially with digital distractions, phone blowing up, text coming in, notifications. But if you just get quiet and slow down and
sit with it,
let it marinate.
Yeah.
I feel like God speaks.
Absolutely. That's all good stuff. So, William Penn Church, I hope you hear this and you don't hear us screaming at you, read your Bible, come on. But that's kind of what we really want you to read your Bible. Not because...
Screaming in love.
Not because we... in love. But not because we have a quota and we need to get people reading the Bible, but because we really do. We see these as the words of life. We see this as our lifeline. We see this as our God speaking to us, and we hope that you do too. And we think by immersing yourself in that, you'll know him better.
Yes.
Isn't that amazing? All right. Well, hey, we will be back next week. Have a good one. Thanks for listening. For more information and resources from Imprint Church, you can download our app or head to imprintchurch.org.